Hey, folks, just a reminder, the Liquorland Podcast is now available on Stitcher. You can download the app, you can share us, you can listen to us on the go, you can rate us, you can review us, you can link us, you can do all kinds of cool stuff. That's the Liquorland Podcast, now available on Stitcher. Get the app and subscribe to us. All right, let's do this. I really need this to work. It's time for the Liquorland Podcast with JoJo Lewis. Hey folks, welcome to the Liquorland Podcast with JoJo Lewis. I am JoJo Lewis. Welcome to the Liquorland Podcast. I really appreciate you getting the Stitcher app, listening to us on the iTunes, subscribing to us, rating and review us, following me on Twitter at Bucky Gums, liking our group on Facebook, the Liquorland Podcast with JoJo Lewis. I appreciate all that stuff. It's where all the announcements go, things like that. Pretty much just me saying, hey, there's a new episode up. It's pretty cool. Today on the show, I'm talking to stand-up comedian Mark Berg, who's an interesting cat. He does music, and we talk a lot about, you know, traveling and driving around and doing bits and all that good stuff and whatever. Today in the life of JoJo Lewis, it's been a kind of a week for me. I had an odd experience yesterday, which was a Thursday nights in Sacramento. Typically, what I do is I'll go to two different rooms for comedy. The first room I go to will be The Deep End, which is a show hosted by John Gamora and Mazzy McDade. Then I'll go to Level Up, which is a show hosted by Idris. It's an open mic located at Level Up, which is over Ty Basil. And the shows are, at least yesterday, were literally the polar opposites of one another in terms of show quality. I go to the one show, I go to the Deep End. I don't perform at the Deep End. I'm just hanging out, being a cheerleader, eating free pizza and cheesy bread, not bites. The show is great. There's about, up until about 8 o'clock, it's just comics, and then all of a sudden 12 people just show up to see the show. They sit down, the show starts, and all the people on the show are people who I've had on the lamp before. John Gamora was the host. They had Jordan Gannon, Dez Henderson, Johnny Taylor, and Emma Haney. Dez, in a room of 12 people, got an applause break. Emma crushed harder than I think I've ever seen her crush before. It was a beautiful scene. It was exactly what you want a comedy show to be like. Everyone left having a good time. Everyone was laughing hard. It was brilliant. But then, because all of my life stories seem to take a dark turn about halfway through, I go to Level Up. Level Up, the experience was radically different. Lots of comics, there were some regular people, but the vibe felt wrong. And I watched comic after comic go up, do their jokes, and it just fell flat. And not only did it fall flat, it fell flat in such a way that, like, when I finally got to go on stage, I performed, and I did, you know, my jokes. It's an open mic, so I knew kind of what I was getting myself into. But this was the kind of open mic where, you know, there are situations where you go to an open mic, and it's like, all right, if I do well in here, it will be reflected because the people in this room will respond as such. Then there are open mics where, even if I do my very best, it's not going to get me anything out of this. The only way I could succeed at this is having done it before and then maybe drawing on that bank of knowledge. And so I performed and I bombed. The only things that seemed to do well were when I responded to how awful the show was, how bad things were, which to me felt foolish. And a couple of the comics who went on before me did that exclusively. They did only that. It's called crowd work. And it didn't go, for them, it didn't go over well at all. The comic right before me did some crowd work, some jokes. I did some crowd work, some jokes. Yeah, it was okay. Not a good set by any means. But the one thing that I really gathered from this was, and this is the thought I had as I was leaving the mic, because I left right after, was, why, like, what if I was one of the comics I had just seen at the Deep End? What if I was one of them, those guys who just crushed so hard and I was in here? How would they have done in here. And my gut tells me they probably would have done, honestly, as well as I did. I mean, there was something in the room that kind of prevented it. It was a vibe. Maybe it was the comics who came up in the order they came up. I don't know what it was exactly, but the vibe was wrong. But I did get some laughs, and it was the kind of thing where, you know, if I had more experience with these kinds of rooms or these kinds of challenges, maybe I would have a better sense of how to handle this kind of scenario in the future. Because I should, as a good comedian, be able to thrive in any environment. I wasn't able to thrive in this one, and that bothers me very much. I want to be able to do well pretty much everywhere, regardless of room makeup, the people that are there, whether or not they're interested. This was a room where no one was interested. I think I learned some things, but the one thing I really learned is that crowd work, for the most part, I feel it should be rhetorical. It shouldn't be real. Because that was what I saw people trying to do, legitimate, genuine, trying to work with the crowd to get stuff happening. That doesn't feel comfortable to me. Just on the grounds that, as a comedian, it's already hard enough to get a room full of people on board with things you're saying. Now I'm going to create an element that I have literally zero control over. I'm going to open it up to everyone in the room to just say things, do whatever. The only way I could see myself succeeding in a room like that is if I develop a bank of things I can do, tricks that I can string together to kind of crowd work my way through a problem. The only way to do that, though, is to consistently have situations where, oh shit, this room doesn't want to laugh, this room is difficult, and I kind of have to develop a skill set to rhetorically deal with that. It's a very challenging kind of thing to think about, in the sense that there's no real way to prepare for it other than in the moment. And I recorded my set, so I have a record of the things I did that got some responses. So I'll have to try those. Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to have to see what happens in the years to come. How good am I supposed to be? I've only been doing this for a year and some change. Give me 10 years and I'll be okay at it, I guess. That's the other thing you gotta contend with. It's like I have to contend with. I'm not that good. Oh well. A lot of self-deprecation on this comedy show, or this podcast today. Let's get on with the interview. Me and Mark Berg talked for a while. It was a pretty good chat. I had a good time talking with him. So here's the interview. JoJo Lewis and Mark Berg. Check it out. I think that was the sound check. I think we got it. I think it's good.
Is that going to be in the thing?
Maybe part of it.
Yeah, all right.
not most of the Jesus.
You could probably just keep going.
We will just keep going. Right. Yeah. How are you doing, man?
Good, dude. How are you doing?
Doing nothing.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Out here on your farm?
Out here on the farm.
I feel like Clark Kent lives down the street.
You know, I know, right? It's weird.
Could be Kevin Costner. It's like, yeah. I live here now.
Just dead bodies. Just people hanging. I imagine driving down, I'm going to see someone hanging from a tree. Just dead and twitching.
Okay.
That's the vibe I get.
Maybe
from
someday.
Not hopefully, but
I mean,
probably.
This town's weird.
Yeah?
It's weird that you live here. Your family's not from here, are they?
No.
You guys moved here from New York.
No. We lived here. We lived in Sacramento, and my dad moved us up here.
Oh, okay.
Because he was like, yeah.
Oh, okay, now that makes way more sense. Yeah. I thought you guys moved from upstate New York to here.
We just traveled all the way to El Dorado Hills.
Here?
It's like, why? We could have just stayed where we were or just gone somewhere slightly sunnier. Same experience.
Pretty much, especially right now with this weather.
Oh, totally, totally.
This kind of feels like upstate. Just way less snow.
Way less snow, and there is some sunlight. Not a ton.
Also, Cooperstown is not like a 2-hour drive.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Has my mic been too low?
A little bit. I think you're too far from it.
Don't make me do things.
Sorry.
All right, you're going to have to boost that.
That's good. Yeah, all that's right.
I'm just going to get right up in it.
Yeah. Are you from upstate New York?
No, I'm from here. I have family in New York.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Not even upstate, though, like Long Island.
Oh, that's not upstate at all.
No, but I've been upstate a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
You like it?
I like it. Crazy. A lot of people talk like Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't talk like him because he's got this crazy upstate.
That's
like super emphasized in everything he says, but other people, they say things a lot like him.
I know, right?
It makes me smile.
I remember when I was living up there, one thing I noticed was everyone started looking the same. To the point that they had the same, like, body type. They were, like, kind of pudgy, whitish guys with glasses. All of them. And I started just like, look at all these pod people. Like, these guys can't have actual lives. They're just grown.
They're just... Really...
Yeah.
The only thing they know is to walk the streets and to, like, give people money at some point in the day. And then they'll get money at the end of the day back. So it's like everything evens out. The economy's still going.
That's pretty much the
economy.
That
is Buffalo.
Fucking A, dude.
But there's like 8 real guys in Albany because they got to pass laws and shit.
There are 8 actual people in Albany.
Yeah, just 8.
Then the rest is just.
Everybody else I just imagine is like a gray goo person.
they're not really
real.
They're like the animatronic Chuck E. Cheese singer guys that are just like.
Kinda.
Ah,
but like grown in a lab.
Meatball sub. Like, I imagine they would say meatball sub a lot.
What? Do they serve meatball subs at Chuck E. Cheese?
Ooh, they should?
I believe there's a Chuck E. Cheese in Roseville we can investigate.
Don't you have to have kids to go into a Chuck E.
Probably.
Cheese? Yeah.
That'd be really weird if anybody not a kid showed up to Chuck E. Cheese. I remember that place being very shitty, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think I only went there once, and when Chuck E. came out, I punched him in the stomach.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I just gave him a quick pop, and I ran away.
That sounds about right. Well, he is terrifying. And you are a child.
It's I was like three.
Why would I bother
four.
With this? I'm here for...
Here I just play. Remember being 3 or 4 years old and not being impressed with the pizza. Like, even by age 4, I was already a pizza snob.
That's such a weird description.
I was like,
no,
my parents have brought me to New York. I know what real pizza is.
And this is definitely
this
not
This is
that.
Not. That's how I equate everything. I'm like, what percentage, how close is it to New York pizza?
Not even
like,
close.
New York pizza is like 100% pure. Pieces pizza in Midtown, that's like 75%. It's pretty good.
This pizza tastes like it traveled here. And...
this one feels like it's fresh off the boat.
It was stepped on.
Like it was stepped on.
It's like
3-2.
It was
smuggled in
it's
here.
It's 3-2 pizza.
It was smuggled in here by Trader Joe's Mexican brand, Trader Jose. Oh, that's awful.
I love that bit. That's a coconut.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that bit. I play that bit from time to time because I shop there all the time. I fucking Trader Joe's.
You just, like, put it in your headphones when you're there.
Yeah, when I'm there, I'm like, this
yes.
feels weird.
Yeah.
That I'm doing this.
This is very meta.
It's a meta experience getting groceries. Anyway. So, okay, so before you walked up, we were talking about, so you take breaks from the scene
for
like months
yeah, I
at
just
kind of
drop out.
Yeah?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Because I convince myself, like, I need a break, and instead of using my break to, like, let's go experience life and maybe get some new joke materials. Like, let's sit on the couch and smoke weed and play video games I've beaten 12 times already. You know, I do like the challenge of how long can I sit here and play Super Mario World until I beat it 100%. Takes about 12 hours.
Yeah.
Non-stop.
That's about right.
Yeah, so I'll just drop out. And then I'll slowly come back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just like,
and then something will happen, and I'll really get into it. I was kind of disappointed with last month.
Really?
What was in it, what November?
Way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just in terms of, like, this, how, like, the shows and shit? Or just
yeah.
The... Okay.
And, like, shitty people. Well, not shitty, but... Some people in comedy who don't particularly like you, but they know that you're, like, I got booked for the show that we had to do in our underwear.
Oh, okay.
I was the only comic not from the Bay, and everybody, this is, like, a really stupid thing to get upset about, but everybody got paid, like, $25, $30,
uh-huh.
And I got $10.
That's fucked up.
So I was kind of like, dude, I don't expect a lot, but I just want my gas and tolls paid for. That's it.
Oh.
Like, especially when you're doing this big old festival thingy.
And $20 is not that.
That's not much.
Yeah.
Especially when everybody's from the Bay.
Uh-huh.
It's like, dude, you can, you, like, come on.
So you were booked in that someone didn't like you on that show?
The guy who books it, we don't particularly get along. We don't, we don't not get along.
It's like a cool relationship. Like,
yeah, we're like acquaintances, and he's like, you're funny, but you're not my kind of funny, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But he booked you.
What?
But he booked you.
Yeah. Because he booked me once, and he didn't tell me, like, the first time I did a thing with him, he wanted us to do character work.
Oh.
And he did not relay that to me. So, I didn't do character work. And
so, you got in trouble for that, basically.
Kind of, yeah. He put me on a shit list for, like, a year.
So
and
this
then
guy's
he,
like, oh, fuck this guy. He doesn't want to do.
Yeah, and then he hit me up sometime, like, late last year and then early again this year.
That's so weird that he would book you on a show that.
But, I mean, I got to perform comedy in my underwear, so that was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
That sounds pretty
my
awesome.
Self-esteem felt really great that night. Like, I said at one, like, I was in San Francisco, and at one point, I said something along, I was like, no, I'm not gay, and five people just went, boo! Like, oh, I'm sorry, was I leading you on? Oh, I just feel like a tramp right now. I'm loving this. Oh, no, I dropped the microphone. Oops.
Okay, so last month, that was a weird show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I didn't do comedy for, like, almost 3 weeks, and then I went up at the Punchline.
At their,
No, not the SF Punch, at the Sacramento.
It was
a show that Kabir Singh.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, put the whole show together, and I was like, I'm probably gonna have a shitty set, because it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I went up and I just did the same set that I had done a couple weeks prior.
Uh-huh.
And I fucking killed and I didn't record it. I was just like, now I'm sad. That was a great one. I thought it was going to be shit. I had three comics be like, you recorded that, right? I was like, no.
Oh, that's sad. So you could have used that.
I could have.
Get into some other things.
Yeah, except I never record video. I always do audio.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
And it's hard to get audio when you're on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I try and, like, push it towards the edge as much as possible.
You need, like, a good...
It needs to be a really full room.
Yeah.
If it's packed, then the laughter will translate.
But if it's not packed, it's just going to sound...
It sounds like you're very overbearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you're just up in there. Because where you put the phone is usually right where all the speakers are, right above you, like the PA system.
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially at the Punchline. It's just right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty small room.
And then unless you're like, unless it's packed and you have mics like that are actually just pointing out
stage. Yeah. Like aerial mics up there.
Yeah, aerial mics, just like a shotgun mic from the stage. Like, bam, catch everything.
Right.
Yeah. That's a bummer. So,
yeah. And then I started trying some new material that wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I guess my reason was like, if this material's not going to work, then neither am I. And I stopped showing up.
Oh, okay.
Like 2 weeks.
Really?
And then last week I just started coming out again.
Okay. How often do you write like new material?
When it comes. I don't try and push it.
Okay.
I'll usually think of something and if I forget and then I think about it again, I'll remember that I came up with that before. It's like, okay, so that's got to be something I need to try.
Oh, that's like a...
Even if it's stupid, like, that's obviously in my head. I want to try it out.
That's a scary way to write.
I know. Like, there's some terrifying things because the really stupid thing is when you come up with those, like, it's, like, a very polarized, like, in my brain instantly told me, that's fucking hilarious. But then you say it to someone, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, fuck.
You're like, oh, shit, I gotta explain why this is funny. And that's the joke, is you're explaining why something is funny. But
That doesn't translate it, super smooth on stage.
Yeah, no, that's where some of the fun comes in, where it's like, I'm just gonna write a lot of this on stage. I have the few things I want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully if they're awake enough and they're willing to at least look at me, I can start articulating my thoughts out loud.
Yeah.
Because then it feels like I'm talking with them.
That's a good way to work it out.
A little bit.
Word to words.
Yeah, a little bit at a time.
I normally, like, if it's a newer bit, I'll make sure, like, I kind of type out a little bit, like the setup, and then I'm like, I'll feel out what the punchline is.
Yeah.
Then you just go up and you're like, I don't remember any of that shit. Just kind of going to say some words.
That's why I never, I like having the idea in my head when I'm doing a new joke, but I won't write it down yet. I'll wait until I say it on stage.
And then you'll go back to the transcript and be like, okay,
yeah,
this
exactly.
is how I said it.
So this is what I said. This okay. is what I should have said.
That's
and
a smart way.
Add, I like doing it that yeah. way. And then I'll try it again that way. And then I'll give it a couple times. I'll go through it. And then I'll write it down again.
Makes you have to get up on stage a lot. In order
yeah,
to,
and that's what I need to do more. Like, what was that? Thursday that we went out and hit two mics?
Yeah.
That was the first time I've hit two mics in a night in like 3 months.
Crazy.
That was bad. Maybe 4 months.
Well, I mean...
Because again, it's easier just to sit on my couch and smoke weed. And
no, totally, totally.
Night.
But also...
I gotta stop doing that.
Our scene out here doesn't have too much like doubling up of mics on given days.
Dude, it's starting to though.
Yeah, kind
it's
of.
Like
kind of.
3-4 nights a week you can actually hit at least two mics in a night.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them's gonna suck dick. And like, in not a good way. Not a way where I'm like, I'm enjoying this thoroughly. It's like, no, this came at a time I didn't want it. I wasn't ready. You know, it was like that last one was so good, and this one just hit me in the face.
Oh, yeah. That's about right.
Like, although Idris's room is really good. I like that place.
Oh, yeah.
Them good. Moving the stage was genius.
Yeah, I didn't even think, like, for weeks leading, like, since the last time I went, we'd been, like, trying to figure out, like, what can we do,
dude,
to make this room good for comedy?
It feels
it
like,
never occurred to
yeah.
me. Move the stage by
the stage
corner.
Was an awful spot. It was
yeah.
this place where you were obstructed by so many different objects. It's like, I'm just not going to look.
And then anyone who walked up walked right past you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a distraction. Also, facing that way, you can, like, see the TV and shit. And I think the only reason why they had it there is because it was like, oh, we have this cool curtain.
Yeah.
Where there's that curtain. And now it feels like a show. But where it is now is fucking amazing.
It just makes it work.
Yeah.
It feels like... Well, the other thing was, like, the old place, you know, if I'm standing across from you, to the right, there's just a shitty curtain, an opaque curtain that you can see through with these really dirty wooden stairs with just shit piled on them going up to what I assume is their shitty home. I don't know why I'm assuming their home shitty. I'm judging them based on their stairs. Like, if your stairs are this dirty, your apartment's a mess.
Why don't you clean your stairs?
Yeah.
It's not that hard. Get a vacuum.
You have a bar downstairs, and below that you have a restaurant.
So this top floor's got to just be disgusting.
Yeah.
Just as it gets higher up in elevation.
I'm just hoping there's not some trickle-down effect.
The lower it is, the cleaner it is. That's kind of odd. But all right, we'll do that.
That bar's
but no,
pretty clean.
But now it's now that the stage is in the other spot, it's like...
It's, yeah.
The vibe
it feels like
is
a
way,
show.
Yeah, the vibe is way better. And I was telling Idris, like, all we need now is to just put, like a black curtain...
On around
that,
the corner?
On that door to the left.
Oh, so that's like the backstage.
Yeah.
That becomes the green room.
Yeah, and that was, and then Idris is like, yeah, because when I'm standing back there, I know people can see me just like getting ready to go out and say, hey, time for the next guy. But yeah, like that was like the most full I've ever seen it, and it was also the best show.
Yeah, that was fun.
And also that
especially how awkward it got.
Yeah,
that
chick started screaming. That was,
she just heard rape and... was not having it.
Flipped
she,
out.
She didn't. Normally, I would agree with her, but if she listened,
yeah,
he was totally.
He was ramp. He was ramping up to turf it out.
But that one wasn't really. I mean,
what?
This is a horrible thing to have on the podcast.
No, it isn't.
All right. No, he didn't say anything bad about or like promoting rape.
Yeah.
It was totally saying, you know, we shouldn't have to teach men to rape because men should just know. Yeah, you don't do that.
Yeah, he was trying to trying to get to that point.
And she just heard rape. Like,
oh, that's all she heard.
And she's like, it's not funny. I was like, well, that part wasn't really meant to be funny. I mean, it's humorous.
And then yeah. It got like, no,
it
but
got heated.
But the problem was, and I learned shit from watching that set. I was like, okay, if that happens...
How do you diffuse?
Don't yell at people.
Oh, no.
That was a... Because he did the thing that that Tosh got in trouble for in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you can't say that.
Yep.
That's too far.
But...
I think they went downstairs and talked for like 20 minutes, though.
Really?
Because I went downstairs, they were like hanging out.
Oh, okay.
Like chatting.
They probably worked it out.
Probably.
Okay.
That chick was
It was
weird.
A happy ending.
That chick was weird, though.
Yeah. They were pretty drunk, too.
Yeah. And she looked like she was, like, in the process of starting dreadlocks, you know? Like your hair.
So that's another way of saying she hasn't showered in a month.
But it seems strategic. Like,
yeah.
It seems like you're strategically not showering.
Like, I saw her. I couldn't pay my water bill. Fuck it, dreads.
And I could see the whole night, like, the dude she was with. She was, we were down there, like, chatting. I was watching her, like, talk to people.
Yeah.
And she was spouting off all this liberal stuff. Like, oh, I'm against capitalism and something. And every time she talked, without fail, the guy who was with her would just, like, cover his eyes.
Just cringing.
It's like, oh, God. Like, at one point, he turned to his friend, and he was like, I don't know. I was like, what is going on with this group of people? I was watching it happen. It was like, this is great.
But that's the thing I love with comedy. Yeah. It's just, like, all the weird shit that does happen.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in pretty much any other art
form. Those are the reasons I remember I love going out. Like, when some new comic goes up and just bombs.
Or just hard, makes a huge mistake.
Hard. Like, I have to say, that's the one thing that I will say. I at least don't bomb. I mean, I still bomb. But my defenses will go up those times. Just like, it's the audience. Like, don't feel bad. Like, yeah, you bombed your dick off. You gotta go harder next time. But you've had worse sets.
You've had way worse sets. You've had sets that you felt like, I need to run away from here. But it's like, yeah, like, I've gone...
When someone bombs, like, their first time, and it's just so quiet, and I'm in the back laughing my dick off, because I'm like, yes!
For all the wrong reasons. Like,
oh, it's great.
You need to just learn.
Well, especially because, like, if those people make it a month,
yeah,
like, they're probably going to keep going.
Oh, but yeah.
Those people that you see bomb once, it's like, oh, there's a good chance I'll never see you again.
That's where I see people bomb once, and I'm like, oh, I probably won't see you next time. Yeah. And they show up again, I'm like,
you made it back to the island.
Why would you do this to yourself? But then I also see people who show up who do relatively okay.
Dude, you did really good out the gate.
No, I didn't.
You were... I would say within a month, you had a grasp of it. More than anybody, like... what's your opinion of all the? I haven't even seen most of the new comics. I've seen a couple of them.
The new crop is.
There's like a lot of. I don't know.
They're good. I mean, they're like. They need work, like we all need work. But yeah, if they keep at it, because the newest group, the newest class is like 3 months old or so.
So are they from the comedy class or?
Yeah. Well, when I say class, I mean like everyone started at about this time. Yeah. There's like 3 or 4 guys actually from the class. And then one guy who's just like showing up, coming around.
Okay.
And they're, you know, they need time and they need effort, but they're going to, you know, if they keep going out and they do a lot of mics and they make a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah.
So, that's a good way to get material.
Yeah.
kind of risky in terms of... I remember my first... Dude, I didn't... fucking... That first month... God, I sucked. I think back of it now...
I don't think you were as bad as... Like, I think my first month was terrible.
Maybe that's...
Like, compared to where you are now, of course it's terrible.
That's a good point. Oh, man.
But... No, I remember, like, you guys' whole class, like, there's, like, you, John Gamora, and then everybody else that started when you guys did, they're gone. I don't even know who they are.
Yeah, the only other two people
who I know... Because there were a couple more. There were probably about 4 or 5 more.
Yeah, but, the people who started when I started were John Gamora, Garrett Boatman.
Okay, Garrett's still, okay. He was just here.
Yeah, he was. Idris was, like... 3 months behind.
Idris started a while ago.
No, he's told me he is like 4 to 6 months on me. That's how he described it.
He has to have a little longer than that.
Well, okay, so he's a little before.
Okay.
And then Kim Martell started like 3 months after. And that's...
When was that? That's an easier question. When did you start, JoJo?
Oh, last June. Oh, no, not last June. The June before. Not the June we just had.
June 2013.
That's right.
Okay.
That's how dates work.
Right.
Yeah, that's when I started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right then.
Yeah. scene was like...
I was on for about 9 months before I met Idris. No, that would have been over a year.
Really?
I started February 1st, 2012.
That fucking guy. He doesn't know anything about it.
Dude,
about
he's... Dude, I remember him from... days ago.
Really?
Well, it's not that long ago. That's like 2.5 years ago, but...
I need to figure it out.
Anyway.
Well, whatever. He always made it seem like, yeah, I don't have that much more time. In his slow, meandering cadence. But there was like... Yeah, I don't remember how many people, like new people I saw. Because at that point, it was like... It was me, I was totally new, and then everyone else had like, oh yeah, I've been doing like 3 years. 3-4 years. Most of the people who I knew.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. That's about right. There's no one really even close to where I am.
No, I mean, there's bit, like, I think I've only been doing it so, like, 15 months more than you. That's not much.
That's a fair amount of time.
Meh.
It's a little
but see, more. That's weird, because... And like we were saying, you know, so I think you got you, John, Garrett, and yeah, you, John, Garrett, and Kim from your guys' like upbringing class. You guys were all the ones that like, yeah, they obviously kind of know what they're doing at least a little bit.
Oh yeah,
like, right, compared to everybody else that was like rehash joke.
Oh yeah, yeah.
like I remember when Patton came on. Oh my god, that dude blew me away.
Yeah,
like I was getting cocky because I was. You know, a whole 4 months in.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I've got 5. I act like that was like the first time like I had a solid 5.
Yeah,
like it was all right. Like it did the job. It wasn't impressive or anything. But then I saw Mike for the first time, and I was just like, he might suck. I might have to help him write jokes. And then I was like, oh my god, he is hilarious.
He shaped up good. I would think because I didn't see him until already a year had passed.
And really?
Yeah. Like a solid...
He kind of disappears sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember when I first started and I saw him go up, I was like, hey, that guy's pretty funny.
Dude, yeah.
And then for a while, he would do this thing where he would, before we like ever talked or were friends, he would come up to me and be like, hey, JoJo, when are you going up? And I was like 4th. He's like, I'm not going to stay that long. But then he was like, but I want you to know... You're one of my favorites. And I was like, thank you, Mike Patton. I just wanted to That happened literally every week for like 2 months.
All right.
That was my experience with Mike Patton. Then he wins the comedy competition.
Yeah.
I was like, good for that guy.
That was a tough call.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
It really was.
I thought it would have gone either way.
Me too. It was weird. When you saw the top four, you were like, I know who's going to win.
I know, but there were other people that I was like, they didn't even make it to the semifinals.
Oh, like from the lower rounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, though. That's the fun thing that I know everybody always bitches about competitions.
Yeah.
Because random shit happens.
Yeah.
I think that's the fun of them.
Oh, totally.
Is like, totally. It's such a, like, that's gambling in comedy.
Oh, is doing the competition?
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's all this money on the table, and we're all putting up our A game. But you never know when something is just going to come up and screw it for yourself.
Oh, totally. And I kind of feel like the competition is the one instance where we forget, hey, it really doesn't matter how good I am in terms of my success. But in a competition, we think, oh no, it totally matters how good I am.
Yeah.
So then you'll like you'll.
But there's so many mitigating factors.
Oh
that
God,
just,
yeah, yeah.
Like when I got in the wild card round.
Yeah.
So that's not even. Like, you had to make it through the wild card to make it to...
The actual round.
The preliminaries.
Yeah.
And it was the first night, and I was supposed to go, like, 3rd.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I was going 1st, and I was like, fuck yes. Like, I just want to go out the gate and set the bar.
Yeah, and just crush.
Yeah, just, like, crush as much as you can in that first 5 minutes so that the next couple people have to work.
Oh, totally.
And it might help you stand out even more. And, some guy who was going last asked if he could go 1st, and I didn't say no or yes. I just heard, you're going 2nd. I was like, all right, fine.
Huh.
I was like, all right, whatever. 2nd's cool, too. And then the guy ended on, like, a 3-minute sad Oompa Loompa song.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the Oompa Loompa Death March.
I remember that.
And it was so quiet.
That set the tone.
That's like, and hey. I was like.
And what was extra fucked up was the room was literally packed.
Oh, and
full
the stage.
Of people.
The stage was set up like a cult ritual slaughter.
I know,
which
right?
I was in love with. I was like, this is totally fine. Let's talk about it for 40 seconds. Let's just talk about everything on stage.
Not just my set. I'm just going to talk about all this weird shit.
Dude, I did.
Insane.
For like, oh, it was like 20 seconds. But yeah. So yeah, that screwed me over because obviously people aren't going to be laughing as much because now I really have to warm them back up from the host spot.
Yeah.
Host did great. Host warmed them up. They were ready to go.
And then the first set, just like.
They were ready to laugh. They were laughing through his first 2 minutes.
And then the
sad Oompa Loompa song.
And then there was just no.
So yeah, then I had to bring them back.
I think at some point during that set, the dude was like, "Yeah, I didn't even know there was a competition tonight. I thought it was just."
Oh.
There were some people who showed up. I think like a couple of people showed up to do comedy for their very first time at the competition.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is
this will be fun for their first time.
Yeah, it's going to give them a skewed view of what it's like.
But if you think that's bad, are you doing the Rooster Teeth Feathers competition this year? Sign up.
Okay.
Just sign up and do it.
All right.
Let me know what date you're going to sign up for. I'll sign up for the same one so we can carpool.
Okay.
But so last year I went down with Alfonso and it wasn't the best night. There were maybe half of the seats were full.
Uh-huh.
And this one guy that was there, I had actually met him like 2 years prior.
Right.
And he brought about half the crowd.
Oh, shit.
So we're like, oh, shit. Like, he's going through. It was like 20 of his wife's friends.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's going through.
He's making it.
And he didn't make it.
Oh, that hurts.
That's got to be the worst. Like, I felt bad for a second, and then I saw that he wasn't up there. I was like, oh, my God.
That's kind of funny to think about all his friends. Listen, man, it's not about you. It's about comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Alfonso made it through.
Oh, yeah. I remember him telling me that.
Yeah, he did a great set.
Who won the whole thing?
Kyrie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty neat. How does that... It's a bringer, basically, bringer contest, and the winner gets, like, a week of hosting?
A weekend of hosting.
A weekend? Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's a pretty fair competition for the most part.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, it's you have to when you go, you just kind of find out how many bringers are there and how much of the crowd did they bring.
Yeah,
and each person gets to vote for their favorite three comics.
So you just have to be in the top three for most of them.
Yeah, so you just be funny. As long as you're funny, even people who brought someone.
Yeah,
there's a like 2 in 3 chance that they're gonna pick you still.
I have a feeling that like if you really want to hedge your bets for those kind of competitions when you're up there,
you should bring some people though.
Bring some people, but also like say your name a lot.
Yeah.
Say your name a couple times. Because at the end of the night, they're going to be like, all right, I'm going to put down the guy who told me to come here. And then also, whose name do I remember?
Yeah.
And then, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Yeah. Unless you're like so outstandingly funny that they just remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about, do you have any competition stories?
Competition stories? The one that just passed?
Yeah.
I have kind of a story about it that I thought was weird.
Yeah.
I went on the night, I was on the same round that Mike Patton was in.
Okay.
And, the competition was weird for me because it was after the competition I had kind of like a break and I changed my attitude to how I do this.
Mm-hmm.
But, at the competition, I had been sweating the competition for like 3 months because I was like, I knew like, okay, on the competition day, I'm going to be up against Jamie Fernandez.
Okay.
And Carlos.
Okay, shit.
And then, like, six other people who I didn't care about. But I was like, no, Jamie Fernandez and Carlos, I have to be as good as they are for that competition.
Yeah.
And that freaked me out. And then, like, a week before, I was, like, just trying to pare down, like, oh, I need to make this perfect 5 minutes. And what's weird was the whole time I was doing it was, like, my goal is to be on the semifinals so I could do my modest proposal necrophilia bit
right
in a pack room. That was my goal. I was like, I want to do that joke in front of 100 people.
Yeah.
And then like,
did you do it?
Well, here's what happened.
Okay.
The night of, I was like, I don't care. I'm not having fun with comedy right now because I'm sweating this. So I did that bit. And I told Mike Patton, I was like, dude, I'm not even going to really try. I'm going to do this one bit and it's going to be interesting. And he messaged me back. He was like, yeah, totally. I really hate this. This is not fun.
Yep.
So we showed up. I did that bit. And a lot of people even in the competition, were like, yeah, you probably have it. Because Mike Patton, he destroyed. Okay. It was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And then there was like one other guy who did great, and he did great clean, which was also impressive.
It wasn't Carlos?
It wasn't. Well, Carlos was in the SF competition. He backed
out. Oh, that's right. Okay.
And in fact,
and not Jamie?
Jamie did great also. Okay. She fucking crushed it. But then when everyone was advancing, I remember this is a weird moment. Mike leaned up to me right before he was like, dude, I think he got this. And then 2 seconds later, it was him and some other person.
Oh.
Who got up.
Huh.
And we advanced. And then here's what's weird. Like, the rest of the night, I was like, okay. And then the next night, and this is all true, I went to the semifinals to kind of watch the show and chill out. And the person who advanced came up to me and apologized to me that she advanced and I didn't.
Huh.
She was like, yeah, her exact words were, I don't know why they advanced me. And she was like, I really think you should have gone on ahead.
Pretty humble.
That is pretty humble.
Did she do well, or was it clear, like, other people had done better and for some reason they just picked her?
Obviously there were judges. I don't know what they were judging on.
Right.
So I'm assuming there was a criteria that she fit. But in terms of just, like, raw audience reaction,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like Mike Patton and then me and then the other guy who were clean did really well. And then it was pretty much, like, you could tell he's going to advance. Just
right.
Just, like, obviously. But then the second spot was, like, kind of confusing because, like, me, this other dude, and Jamie all had, like, really good sets.
Yeah.
And it was obvious, like, it felt like it should be one of us. But then it was this other person we didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But it was just weird that she, like, sought me out to apologize. That was a weird moment for me. I was like, okay. Now I have to live with this memory.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can really do about
it. Yeah, nothing you can do.
People came up from LA, I think, to be in that competition. And they didn't even make it past the preliminary.
No, they did not.
So.
But it was weird. Like, the LA comics who came up, I mean, they had, like, stage presence. And they seemed like, oh, they look like what a comedian is supposed to look like. But, like, machine guns with their jokes.
Yeah.
Super quick. Even when they're not getting
It's a different style.
Yeah, it is a different style.
Like,
dramatically different.
Yeah, there's... I want to go down there and check out what their scene is like and what their comics are like.
I do, too.
Because it's a very... Yeah, it's kind of robotic feeling.
And it's a lot of...
Some of it seems very scripted, you know?
Totally, totally. And it doesn't seem like they leave room for laughs.
And I could see why it would do well in LA, like, as many times as I've been down there.
Uh-huh.
Like, not to do comedy, but just knowing a lot of people down there.
Yeah.
Like, I could see why your material would do well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cultural thing, almost.
Maybe. I don't even know.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to try and pin it on anything. It's just, like, I have that feeling. It's just, like, I could see why you would do well.
Huh. Well, I remember thinking, like, one thing I've always heard is, like, sets down there are shorter.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people, like, on average.
It's like 3 minutes.
Yeah, you get 3 minutes instead of five. So they...
So when they come, they're like, you can stretch my legs for 5 minutes.
whoa, an extra two?
Yeah.
I can, like, take a breath, make a drink, a sip of water for dramatic effect. No, but it's like, it seems almost like they're trying to pack as many possible jokes.
Which...
In this amount of time,
like I 15 used to seconds, do, when seconds, I first started, seconds. That's what I did too.
Really?
I knew where my punchlines were and everything, so I would just go.
Okay.
And I didn't give people enough time to, like, laugh, and I would just start launching into the next thing, which, you know, starts creating problems.
Oh, yeah, when you hear that back on the tape, you're like, that, I should have...
Yeah, just, like, stop for a second.
And it sounds weird, too. You're like, I'm talking too fast.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man. Competitions are cool.
Yeah.
I need to try to do
one of them. Sign up for Roosters.
I'll sign up for Roosters.
It's fun.
Okay. Should be pretty sweet. But anyway,
what I was thinking about.
What?
I can't remember. I was thinking about something now. I can't remember.
Okay. It's because you smoke a lot of weed.
Not as much as I used to. You didn't know me from way long ago.
What?
Dude, like, when I was first starting comedy. I was drinking so much.
Really?
So much.
Like alcoholic level? Like,
I would show up
my
to
life
the,
drinking?
I would show up to the comedy spot because I knew I was going last.
Oh.
And I would show, I just always went last for like the first 6 months probably.
Uh-huh.
Or close to last. But I would bring a Coke bottle that was mostly full of rum. And just like maybe a third to a half of Coke in there.
Nice.
And I would just drink that and just get wasted.
And then go up and...
Go up and be not funny because it's like this 19-year-old's hella drunk. Nobody thinks that funny. This ain't 1942, man.
What's this 13-year-old doing so upset?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh. Dude. So, yeah.
Was there any particular reason for that, or just wanted
I don't
to do
know.
It?
I think I was just 19, living on my own, and I was like, I'm an adult. I can drink if I want to, and so.
And so you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really a smart idea.
Did it hamstring your...
Oh, yeah. I just realized after, like, 9 months, close to a year, I was like, yeah, this isn't good for me. Like, it's not conducive to comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not making me any funnier. It makes me trip over my own words.
Yeah, and it makes you... I would imagine it would make you, like, forget shit.
Yeah, you forget shit. You kind of yell at the audience every once in a while.
For no reason.
Yeah, for no reason other than you're drunk and upset. You know how things go.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I stopped doing that. And then I did start smoking way too much weed, and I would go on stage, and, like, same thing. It was
really?
Just, I was really stoned, so I could pull it off and for a minute and just... You know, people would realize I was really high.
Huh.
Interesting. But then, yeah, then I pulled it back. Now it's like, no more before I go on stage.
And then you just save it for after.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did smoke before I got here because it's noon.
Oh.
Or somewhere near after that. And
this
like,
isn't, this
I just
isn't
woke
so,
up at like 10.
This isn't so much a performance as it is just like a talk. So
yeah.
It's not even like a big deal. But I would have
no,
met,
it's a bit, no.
But I remember,
no,
like,
I'm taking this seriously. We had a great conversation so far.
We have.
I don't know how far into this we are.
About 40 minutes.
Jesus.
I was thinking, like...
Isn't real.
Like, the few times I've gone up, like, drunk have not been good.
You did see me one time when I got way too drunk and go on stage.
Really?
Yeah, you remember. When you, oh. Will, and I went to San Francisco.
Oh, fuck.
And then we went to, I...
That cleared, was so
Will
fun.
Had plenty.
Will was gone.
He...
Will was...
We needed to go to that In-N-Out.
As Johnny Taylor would say, Will Fisher was having an out-of-body experience. Like, it was
pretty
the craziest thing I ever
much.
Saw.
And I just felt terrible because I told you I was going to introduce you to Mary Van Note, and then...
We forgot to. And she was sitting right there.
No, I didn't forget to. It was just I bombed so hard. I was like, I can't talk to her.
I know.
Like, she barely knows me as it is. I've spoken to her, like, 3 times,
yeah.
Maybe.
And then
I don't
think
she's ever actually seen me perform. We just happen to be at the same place a lot, and this was the first time she actually watched me. I was like, ugh.
Did you go on before Will or after?
I went on... Before I went first.
So you went first,
and then Will went up.
I mean, you
and
went...
then you went, and I had to apologize to Hayden a couple times.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't worry about it. I was like, we know what we're both thinking.
That was a rough. That was a
but
rough.
But you did great.
Evening. Yeah,
because you didn't drink and smoke all afternoon like we were. We didn't harsh your sad.
Didn't harsh the
your,
sad.
Your sad.
That's the origin of that
yeah.
story. Which is a good... I
that
still
we
think
were,
that was a good trip.
I enjoyed my... We got to do it again. Just
yeah,
not,
we do. Just not get as fucked up.
No, I'm not going to get fucked up at all.
Okay.
Like, after the shows, I will probably smoke a joint or something. But
yeah.
Before then... Dude, I got to think on my feet. I'm
gotta
up
be
there.
For
I'm
it.
Spry. I'm, like, hopping like a Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Sun throw... Someone throw sun at me.
Throw a topic.
Yeah.
Give me a pun.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I can't
remember,
do that.
I remember
well,
seeing...
You actually did drink with me that night, too, though.
I did.
Yeah. I was
but that was like
you
after.
Chugged it, and it was a Guinness.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I don't drink for fun, so it's like, I just gotta get...
I very much
the,
enjoy
gotta
Guinness.
Gotta get this out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do it just to do it.
Yeah. I went back. I did that show again, like, a few weeks ago.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was fun. It was kind of dead, but it was like, it's still a fun room.
Yeah.
And still a fun show.
It's a weird little room.
Yeah.
Seats like 18 people.
But it's like, the room is set up like, this is a good space. If this room was full of people and the bar was full,
and when
it
is full,
room.
It's fun.
Yeah, good for comedy. Because
it's like eight
it's really
people
nice.
Sitting at the bar and then like those 3 or 4 tables of 4.
Yeah. And then I drove out there by myself, and Hayden was, he had me as the, oh, here's our he called me, here's our headliner comic from out of town. I was like, that's a very heavy thing to say.
That sounds okay, no.
Pressure on a person. But yeah, it was cool. And then
it's not a headliner at an open mic. I think we need to establish not that even for close. Everybody. Just like don't call the last person.
It's the closer, which is not even that somewhat generous. And then
that makes me think of like you just closed this insurance deal. Well done. The closer.
And then it was cool, like he did that cool thing, like when you when you tip somebody by shaking their hand with money in it.
Yeah.
He did that, but instead of it being like a smooth bill, it was like whatever it was tossed.
And
the
wet.
Donation, like he shook my hand and I was like, it feels like he's shaking my hand with a handful of leaves. And I was like, oh fuck, this is money for the show. And made like $20 in a room of 8 people.
Nice.
Got a free drink.
Hey.
It was pretty sweet.
There you go. He's treating comics well.
He is treating comics well.
Yeah.
And he was cool enough.
The out of town cat?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty awesome. And it was a fun show. But yeah. It was a good time. Driving out to the Bay freaks me out.
Really? I love it.
Well, I mean, like, I love when I'm actually like, okay, now I'm gonna do comedy here. That's great. Everything leading up to it is a nightmare for me. I get like anxiety.
Really?
Like driving anxiety.
Oh.
Like I hate driving myself to the Bay.
Okay. I can see that. I have a lot of people that whenever they find out I'm going to the Bay, they're like, can I come with you? Because I needed to go down there and I hate driving down there.
Yeah, because it gives you a fucking panic attack.
Yeah, and then people don't like it more once they realize like, oh, you drive a manual? yes, I do.
So yeah, this is whatever.
I'm thinking about getting like a vinyl decal for the back of my car that just is back up. It's a manual. Because the only time it's ever an issue is when I'm down there and I'll be like,
bombing
downtown or
hills.
In Soma, and like, yeah, I'm like pointed up a hill at the very top, and somebody gets right on me.
I was like, I'm gonna,
it's like, oh, this is gonna be fun. It's like,
bam!
Dropping into first, and you're just peeling out.
I'm doing this for your benefit. I went down there with Garrett a few weeks ago, and we were. I brought him along specifically because I was like, all right, you have Fast Pass.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, all right, you have an iPhone? Yeah. Let's do this. So we're driving down there. And
you have to hire a navigator. I forgot.
He's my navigator.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm driving around, and he's like, yeah, Jojo, there are no rules here. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, if you want to just do something, just do it. The lights are suggestions. Just fucking plow into shit. And I was like, I hate this place and everything about it.
Yeah, I don't. I like it, but every time I hear people say, like, I just want to move to San Francisco. Why?
Yeah. We were driving around, like, how are people, how do you live here? Like, I
wanted,
like, we were driving around, we saw people walking, we just wanted to start yelling at them. Like, how? We saw people, like, I remember at one point we saw a bunch of people in the second floor of a building at, like, a 24-hour just working out. I'm like, how are they able to focus on exercising in this horrible place?
Why would you want to better yourself here?
You
could be laying on the couch, eating Cheetos, being like, life is awful.
Like, why did I make this decision?
I like visiting very much.
Yeah.
But I could never, like, 3 days is my limit. One time I woke up on day 4 in San Francisco just angry. My body did not want to be there.
It's like, you were physically like, I'm done. This
yeah,
is a
I was physically
place.
Sick. I couldn't do it. Like, I seriously woke up and I was at my friend's place and I just texted him saying, I'm fucking leaving. It was at like 8 in the morning. I had nothing to do that day. I was like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I can't do it here.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it's so fucking packed in.
And the people.
Yeah.
The people are...
It's weird. Much broader spectrum of folk I found than here, especially like at a comedy show. Like, the, you know how it's like, oh, there's a lot of us, but most of us are kind of like mellower.
Yeah,
it seems like, okay, we could probably hang out, we could probably like get food after this, and it's not a big deal. Down there, I remember it's like, okay, like two of these people, if it wasn't for comedy, I would actively be walking away from them.
Yeah.
And then, like, a couple other people are just talking to me as if I don't know that we're at an open mic. Right now at the same mic. And they're like, yeah, oh, I'll tell you about my persona right now.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing? I remember that guy. But, yeah, it's kind of a weird vibe of, like.
A lot of the people I know that are down there are just down there on their parents' dime.
I have, fuck, how else are you supposed to be down there? You need like you need like a grown up actual job to live in San Francisco.
You need a super job.
Yeah.
My best friend lives there. He's living in, granted, he lives 2 blocks from the beach, so that's already going to raise his rent.
Hell yeah.
But he's a marine biologist, so.
Oh, okay.
It makes sense for him to, but he's still going to school. He's just about to go start his master's program.
Yeah.
And he has a studio. It's $1,000 a month.
Fucking A.
All he gets is like a bedroom / living room, a kitchen, and a bathroom.
And it's $1,000.
It's $1,000.
Is it as big as this room?
Yeah, it's probably twice the size of, no, 1.5 times the size of this room. It just has,
dude.
Like, he has 2 giant fish tanks, a bed, a futon, and a desk. That's it.
Ugh.
That's all he has room for.
And he gets the wonderful cosmopolitan life of living in the city.
Yeah.
And there's the
$1,000 a month.
How the fuck do you pay for that?
And then I mean, live. I could, if I had my job here down there,
yeah,
I could afford it.
Really?
But I would be angry every day. Paying $1,000 for this shithole? No, thank you.
That's fucking awful.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. And then everyone just like, oh, we all just visit here. No one lives here. Because you see those buildings, those like high rise apartments, you're like, how the fuck?
Dude, those things are full of offices and everything. It's crazy. There's so many people that would commute there every day.
I imagine so. Because it's like this little, it's just that little blip.
8 by 8 mile.
Just that stretch.
Rock.
Doesn't make any sense. Their grid system's all fucked up.
Nah, you learn it over time.
I guess you do.
I know, like, I started figuring out where stuff, like, I've been going there for like 5 years now. So
I mean, half of it is like, okay, if it's a grid system, it's like letters and numbers. But down there, it's like letters
it's just
and numbers.
Names.
But also, there's some streets.
Well, yeah, it's like, okay, so if I'm over, like, on, like, the north side, like, or not north.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, northwest, all the way down, like, over on the coast.
Yeah.
That's all names with, like, just letters, like, Terraval,
Uoa. Yeah, yeah.
And goes like that. But then you go to, like, downtown, it's like, all right, so I've got the streets, but then I have all these random street names intersecting them, and I don't know where I am.
that's where we had to
go. I'm lost. I've been yelled at bicyclists for 20 minutes now. I want to get out of here. Your wharf smells like a fart. Let me leave.
No rules. Crashing into shit. I remember we were driving around, and Garrett was like pointing shit out. He was like, oh, I think the punchline's up there. I was like, I don't need to think about that right now. I have to be focused on us not dying.
Yeah.
Fucking place.
Yeah, I remember one time I was leaving. I was down near the punchline with some friends.
Yeah.
And I'd started going through a stop sign. Like, I'd stopped and started going, and all of a sudden, I just hear, look the fuck out! And there's this guy flying down the hill on my right on a bicycle. And just goes like, he's going like 35, 40 miles an hour on this bicycle. And he's just in front of me, flipping me off.
Why?
I don't know to this day. If it weren't for the fact that he was flipping me off, I would have ran him down. I would have chased him. I would have chased him for so long.
You're like, but then you saw him.
I would have had a talk with his father.
We need that level of confidence in the world.
It was just so funny. My friends were assuming, like, he must have no brakes on that bike. In San Francisco? How do you do that?
You just have it's mostly hills. Like,
yeah.
How are you supposed to just not have brakes?
Like, I understand the uphill part, sure. I guess you don't need brakes then that much, but the downhill, Jesus Christ, dude, there are trolleys that don't stop for shit.
So he's basically just like, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just bomb this hill, and wherever I come to a stop, that's what I'm going to do today.
That's where I was supposed to go, yeah. That's just the Lord's way of telling me. Yeah, that's... Dude, that's why that place scares me. It's like, I couldn't do this. You guys,
it's like,
crazy.
Jesus are my brakes. That's pretty much it.
Ugh.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
I'm getting anxiety thinking about it. I need to stop thinking about it. Fuck, dude.
Traffic in the Soma.
Oh, man.
Stuck on Market Street. I'm just trying to get over to Bush so I can get back on 80.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not a complicated transaction.
Yeah, dude, the last time I went there, I left at... It was like 1:30 on a Thursday.
Like in the morning or
In the afternoon.
Okay.
On a Thursday, 1:30.
Yeah.
To go from, like, the beach area. I don't know how to describe my friend's place. It's like on, like, 42nd Avenue.
Yeah.
To get to the Bay Bridge, an hour and a half.
Fuck,
in a
dude.
Manual. That's where I was like, this is the worst.
I remember, yeah.
It took me an hour and a half. It took me a total of 4 hours to get home.
Jesus Christ.
That's where I'm like, I could never live here. If I ever had to deal with this shit. On, like more than, like, a maybe once a year basis.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Emotionally couldn't handle it. Yep.
I'd probably just end up taking my car and just ramming it into the person in front of me, and then just like locking all my doors and throwing the e-brake. I'm just like, fuck it.
Hey, why'd you do? What's the deal, man? And it's like, dude, look,
I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it. Here's my insurance information. Here.
You just tape it in the window. Here.
Yeah, write it down.
Do what you gotta do. I don't give a shit.
Call your person to call my person. Mr. Berg, why did you do this? I couldn't fucking take it anymore.
We totally understand. Yeah.
That's we'll category. We'll just check off, couldn't take it.
We'll just check C. First one's accident. Second one's negligence. Third one's fuck it.
Unchecked aggression.
Shit, dude. Oh. So how you feel, man?
Doing good. How about you, JoJo?
Doing okay. We've gone pretty much an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did you feel like
a minute.
I know. Did you talk about everything you needed to talk about?
I think so. We didn't talk about Borderlands at all, but...
We didn't talk about Borderlands.
We could save that for, like, a Borderlands exclusive.
Yeah, we can.
Like, for all of you Liquorland podcast fans,
we're gonna have this
also
special...
love Borderlands. This is a very specific demographic that we're looking for here.
Of the 100 of you, maybe like 20. That's fine. We could put together one hell of a team with that 20.
We're going to talk about the best skill trees to use, who you should have on your team, and who to give what items to.
The basics. Pretty much the basics.
Executing phase lock episode 1.
Well, shit. Well, thanks for doing this, dude.
Oh, dude,
I
thanks for having me.
Out. Yeah, no problem, man.
It was a lot of fun.
All right, folks, that's been the show. I hope you really enjoyed it. That's the entire thing. Mark Berg is cool. I like talking to him. Next week on the show, I'm talking to Steven. What do you guys want to do, Ferris? In the meantime, you can tweet at me, at Bucky Gums. You can download us and subscribe to us on the Stitcher app. You can also go to Stitcher.com and look us up. I've been JoJo Lewis. Have a good one. And, yeah, I think this worked.